you so much, honey. You know, we're excited about what God is doing. I want to remind everyone, ladies and gentlemen, about the recordings that are online. They're available. Why am I saying this week after week after week? Because we would like to see you excel. There isn't any one of us who has learned it all. No, there is always more. You know, even the secular world, they have what they call R&D, research and development. They are constantly seeking to know more. What is the mission given to NASA? National Aeronautical Space Administration, set up in the United States many years ago. What is their mission? To explore the space and to share that information, not just with America, but with all of mankind. Yes, that was when we had a grand scheme. Their job was to share with all of mankind. Now, the other countries have tried, but not all of them do share. Notice the difference. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, just want to remind you, three main sections. You're familiar with it. You've heard it before, but I'm going to just remind you again. The three sections on the website, the recent messages, that's today's sermon, will be up there, and last week's sermon is there, and previous messages, they're there. They're longer messages, usually 55 minutes to a little over an hour. And then you have the weekly teaching, which goes out every Wednesday live. And of course, we have, you know, Faith Building Workshop. They're designed for us to build faith. And I was thinking this week I'm going to talk with Brother Stephen for us to make some arrangements. I'd like to do some faith building teaching on the website that he has. He encourages folks for prayer, for healing on Wednesdays, but I want to go ahead and have some teaching along with that. So I'll pray about that so we have fine favor there and things will run smoothly. All right, but those are the three main areas, ladies and gentlemen. So we just thank you so much for joining us, and we are excited about those who are listening online and those who will get the recordings a little later. May God be with you. Now I want to talk about a subject matter which we have all contemplated. We have heard these things at some point in the past, but we may not have looked at it from that perspective, and that is how things should be. Now, I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no one way for you and I to operate, so long as we're operating under the confines of the teachings of the scripture. So, for example, you may have lunch at 12 o'clock, another person may have it at 1 o'clock. You're both in right standing with the Lord. Some may choose not to have lunch. They're still in right standing with the Lord. So I just want us to realize, you know, there's no just one way. So think about it from that perspective. So when I say how things ought to be, God has given us some leeway into what you and I can do. There's a lot of freedom you find when you this wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So I want you to think about it from that perspective. I want you to join with me and make sure your cell phone is muted. And you know, so you won't get a long distance call from anywhere. You know, I know the Lord is not going to call you by cell phone. So it's going to be somebody else distracting you if you get one, all right? Just a friendly reminder there. Thank you so much. So how things should be, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to think about it. Put on our thinking caps. You know, the teachers will tell us in grade 3. Put on your thinking caps. And I'm thinking, well, I never had one of those. What are those? And it took me a little while for us to understand what she meant by that. And the point is that we want you to open up your imagination and try to glean more from the ideas that flow. Did you know That the book of Genesis, chapter 1, if you look at the very first two verses, you'll find that there was chaos before that happened. Yes, Genesis chapter 1. I want us to kind of look at it. Because we need to understand how things should be. So it says in Genesis chapter 1, in the ageless, that's the Hebrew. In English, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. But look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now you know God, whatever he makes is perfect. So what are we seeing here? And in verse 2, and he says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, it says, moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, between verse 1 and 2, using our way of measuring things, those are thousands of years, perhaps millions, we don't know. Because what happened was that Satan was on the earth before mankind. He was in charge. And he messed it up real bad. And so, as a result, there was not much darkness afterwards. And so what happened is, God now had to come and clean things up. He had to come and clean things up. And so, what we find then, there was chaos on the earth, darkness. So what did God say? Let there be light, and there was light. And so what God is starting to implement is what you and I know as the creation story. And within 6 days, he recreated how things are physically on the earth. Within 6 days. But I want us to focus a little bit more on what transpired before we went to, we came to that situation. Because, you know, he recreated it and then he said, let us make man in our image. You all are familiar with that, correct? Mm-hmm. All right, good. Now, in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, I want us to notice something. I want to bring this to your attention to you. We don't spend a lot of time trying to figure this out. And I want us to go back into time again and look at what was happening before. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon on her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So whoever this lady was, she was in a position of authority, and she is under God's jurisdiction. Let's put it that way. So verse 2 says, she being with child, cried travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now you're going to find when you study the scriptures some more that there was a scene that took place in heaven. That's what I want you to understand. And much later on, God started to use a nation called Israel, and so some of the attributes you see here, you know, reflects from Israel. So keep that in mind. But I'll point out as we go along so you understand where I'm coming from. So verse 3 says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, what I want you to understand is this. This happened in the past, and it is going to happen in the future. This is God's way of letting us know about this. But the scripture is written in such a way that the average Joe cannot come and twist it. That's what would have happened. So God is writing it so that it makes no sense to the average person. Only those who are led by the Spirit of God is going to be able to understand it. All right? That's otherwise they would have changed it. So it says, there appeared another wind, another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. He always seemed to appear the same way. He's a dragon. You have 7 heads or 7 different areas in which he seemed to be in control, and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Now, this is the end time beast power, a summary of it. But that's how Satan is in nature. So keep that in mind. Let's read a little more. Verse 4. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. So this being drew one third of the stars of heaven, which is another way of saying the angels. And so he pulled one third of them to follow him. So this is what happened before, and we're not going to go into it today, but we have read it before, where he said in his heart, I am going to be like the Most High. I'm going to rise up above the stars of heaven. He wants to be in charge, in other words. And so there's going to be a showdown taking place right here. Are you with me? And so there was a showdown and he lost, because God is almighty. Not only is he impertinent, he's foolish. But he took one third of the angels with him. What are they called today?
Demons.
A third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child as soon as it was born. Now, this child here is Jesus. And so he came through the nation of Israel. Remember, they were 12 stars? Remember, 12, what do you call it? There were 12, crown of 12 stars that represented 12 tribes. And so here it is now. The nation of Israel is Jesus came out of it, and so Satan, now the moment he was born, Satan was there trying to kill him. He had to run to Egypt, run here and there, and so on. You get the idea? But God manipulated the whole situation, because God is, he is the man, if you want to use that expression. And so Satan obviously couldn't stop him. Anyway, continue. Now, why didn't God just get rid of him? No, he's not ready yet. He's going to. And so he says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was called up unto God and to his throne. In other words, her child is linked directly with God. That's Jesus. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place of God, a place prepared of God, that she should he should feed her there 1,260 days, or 1,260 days. And that is the equivalent of 1,260 years that the church was able to hide from the Roman Empire and those who were coming after it. And so it comes all the way back down to our time. Are you with me now? Okay. All of these figures are a type, so I'm saying this so you understand. So it says, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Remember, no, way back along, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and he did not prevail. Neither was their place found any more in heaven for him. See, he got thrown out. Before that, he had access. So what did he do now? He come and he start to stomp all over the place, temper tantrum, as usual, and start to mash up everything on the earth, bring darkness and so. And so he, the great dragon, that's verse 9, was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. It's the same dragon. He's telling you about it, what happened to him now. So I'm telling you now, he had all this and he messed things up. The whole earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's why they're on the earth. This was their territory before we came. So God came and he created a man, which we now know as Adam. All right? God was restoring things. All right? Now, I want us to go back to the book of Job, because God, he hides these things here and there. There's a reason for that, so most people won't get it unless they're being led by the Spirit of God. But in the book of Job, the 38th chapter, I want you to notice something of what God was doing. It says in verse 7, all right, let's read verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Speaking of what God did, verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut the sea with the doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of the womb? Let's back up and read verse 6, verse 5 and 6, and then 7. Who had laid the measures thereof? Talking about who constructed the earth, who put it together. Who had laid the measures thereof? If you can know, tell us. Or who had stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. What are they shouting about? They were shouting about the creation that God has made. He was setting it up together, and they are singing and shouting together about it. When we are happy, I mean really happy, we tend to sing. They always say, I mean, you got a new song. You tend to sing, you celebrate. When we come before the Lord in the mornings or during the worship portion of our service, we come happy and we ready to receive from God, and we start to sing to him. That's why he said come before his presence with singing, into his courts with praise. You will never see anyone who does not know how to sing, who move heavily in healing. You won't move heavily, not in it. Occasionally, yes. But heavily, no. You're going to find that though, every one of them is because they know how to go into the presence of the Lord. And when you go at that point, God is ready to deal with you. Are you with me? So I'm saying to you now, we need to understand how things ought to be. Oh, you see why we're already singing? No, I said to you, everything was chaotic in verse 2, starting with verse 2, and God is restoring things. He didn't tell us everything all up front. Take a little time for us to get it all together. Let's look at Psalm 18 and go to the 30th verse. The 18th Psalm tells you a little about how God is. We need to know more about Him. He's our Creator. Verse 30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. Are you with me now? His way, when God's command that things be done, it's perfect. And so, the chaos you saw in verse 2 of Genesis came from Satan the devil. Now, we could prove it elsewhere, but we don't have time to go into that today. I just want us to recognize that that is the case. Because God is perfect in what He does. And so the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. So we then, if we understand how things ought to be, when we trust in God, we're going to be all right. You got a lot of people, some of you in the church, who are trying to talk as if, woe is me. They don't really trust in God like they should. If they trust in God like the Bible says they should, then not only will they excel, but they will demonstrate that as they go along. I want you to learn this, folks, ladies and gentlemen, because I want us to excel. We're coming up on a new year, and things are going to be different this year. If it wasn't different, it would be boring. And I want you to be prepared so you can excel and go along even though times are different. Now in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, what we found then was that Satan the devil, the arch enemy of mankind, the deceiver himself, Mr. Liar, because he's the first one to start lying, you find that he come now and he started a whole mess in the Garden of Eden. Here he is, because God is cleaning up stuff. But he's going to allow us now to be tested. Because we have a much higher potential than the angels. He made us out of flesh and blood, out of the earth. He could have made us out of spirit. So when somebody said this stove is hot, and we touch it, being a spirit being, it won't feel that in the way to you. Because you transcend that dimension. So you wouldn't get burned. It's hard for you to learn that fire is hot when you are a spirit being, but when you're flesh, you learn fast, you're gonna burn yourself up. God knew what He was doing. He made us out of flesh so that we can learn fast. By the way, when did the angels go to school? Do you realize they're learning right now? This is part of the training they're going through by watching us, observing us. They're in school now. You and them learning together. They've been around longer than you, so they retain more because they have the capacity to do so. But we have a much higher potential than they do. Psalm 19 will explain that. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto this woman, God said, yes, shall you not eat up tree of the garden? That's verse 1. Of Genesis chapter 3. He was more subtle, and he come and he start telling a lie. Notice now, as I said last night, remember I was pointing out in Sounds of Revival, The Antichrist is going to come deceiving the people. We have a type of certain leader who, when he came to office, he started to deceive the people. He didn't really have the people's interest in heart, so the people suffered under him. They deceive. So in verse 1 again of Genesis chapter 3 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And so the serpent said unto the woman, yea, and God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Notice the way he start out now. He start out like their buddy. Yea, as God said, yeah. We in it together, you know. Yeah, and God said you shouldn't eat of this. I don't know how long she was talking to him before that. But there she said, yeah, and he just all of a sudden, you know, God said you shouldn't eat of this, you know. And the woman said unto the serpent, because she didn't have no sense to run, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." First lie right there. Well, I don't know if that's the first one he told, because he had daylight before, but that's the first one with mankind. "You shall not surely die." Was he wrong? Sure he was. People have been dying ever since. So what you find then is that Satan come and tricked Adam and Eve. "For God do know," but he's trying to substantiate his point, verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods." In other words, your eyes is going to be just like God's, knowing good and evil. What does that mean? Knowing good and evil.
When you stop and think about it, that alone should not cause her to run. Knowing there means experience. When you experience evil, that you have to sin. Knowing good and evil.
"And when the woman saw that the tree was when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes," because it fooled her, you know, so she pleasant to the eyes, "and a tree to be desired to make one wise," was that really wisdom? "She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did not have more sense, so he ate too. And so the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked."
Now they start to be able to see beyond the normal now, into the spirit realm, and they realize they made a mistake. Their eyes were open, knowing good and evil. God doesn't want us to live the evil life. That's why he keeps saying we should get away from it. Most people are not getting it. The whole world have been fooled into thinking that going the devil's way somehow has some benefits. None.
So, verse 8 says, "And so they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Now notice this now. They heard the voice of the Lord walking. They heard him. And all of a sudden they become ashamed. Why? Because they knew they disobeyed and they do something wrong. So all of a sudden now they're embarrassed. "And so the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him," what unto you, Adam? Where are you?
You know, he's trying to play hide and seek. Where are you, Adam?
Did he know where he was? Sure he did.
But the point was that Adam wouldn't run out and meet him no more, because you see, Adam knew he messed up. So Adam now is going to try to hide away. And so he said, "Okay, Adam, where are you?" He's here. You know where he is. He's right there behind the tree. But, you know, he's telling him, "Hey, Adam, where are you?" And Adam says, you know, let me see what his response is. And he said,
I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Of course, he did not have more sense than the man in the moon, because you can't really hide from God, because God can see in the spirit realm. No distance with him. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you not? And of course, they started to give excuses and they blame each other. No, Adam, when his wife had messed up, she said, oh, you know better. No, I'm not eating of it. God would have let him go. But he didn't. He just followed her, so both of them get into trouble. And so he was fooled into thinking that he gonna be like God, yet what he did was he fell from grace. And of course, you know the story. Thistles and all those different things, now the hard stuff now start to come upon the earth to try to more or less stabilize things, because they made another mistake, because Satan had messed it up before. God come fix it properly now, and so all the weeds and bugs and stuff like that now come up on the earth. They didn't have that before. So you think about it, you're going to spend a lot of money buying weed killers. Well, thanks to Adam. All right? Now, Jesus was cognizant. By the way, when the Bible says the Lord, it was talking about Jesus. That was the same person who came as Jesus. He knew what Adam was capable of doing, because he knew how Satan was. And he knew the fighting that they went through to cast him out of heaven. Therefore, he had a plan in place that was going to protect us from continual destruction. Perpetual destruction. Let's go back to the book of Revelation, the 13th chapter. Even to this day, Satan don't believe it. There was a gentleman, he was having a service some years ago. There was a lady there what was demon possessed. So he was talking to the lady, and he said to her, what is your problem? You know, and she started explaining that she got all these, really, these demons in her. And he said to the demons, you know, you have to go. And they said, no, we won't. And they started to rail and act up. And he said to that demon, you have to go. And you know what the demon said? I'll just go into somebody else. Just like that. I'll just go into somebody else. And so he said, no, you're going back to the pit where you came from. You're not going to stay in any, you're not going to go in anybody in our meeting. He had about maybe 10,000 people at the meeting. So you're not going to anybody here. You're getting out of her. But notice what the demon said. He said, oh, yes. There's a person who didn't get no offering when it was time to give offering. By the way, the second time I heard this, I saw that actually in person. Where the demon said, so-and-so been taking the money out of the offering. I don't know the person. Mm-hmm. The other people knew him, but I don't know the person.
They call the person name.
Mm-hmm. The demons, they're watching. They watch everything we're doing. They just can't touch us because we have the power of God in us. But we have to make sure we do what is right. As long as we do what is right, they can't do us nothing. They're all over the place. You don't want to see them because they're ugly. I mean, really ugly. But the point is this. I'm glad God made us so we can't really see that stuff. Because they really are ugly. I've seen it before. They're extremely ugly. Most grotesque pictures and colors and stuff. But my point is this. Here it is now, God is planning this thing, and so these demons, you know, they had their little scheme, and so Adam fell for it. So in Genesis chapter,
Revelation
chapter 13, you know the story,
I stood up on the stand of the sea, and he started to give you a summary again of who? The beast. Notice the same thing again. 7 heads, 10 horns, and so on, right? His structure is his regular, I guess you might say, uniform. And so verse 7 says, and it was given unto him, speaking of the beast, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So in the future, he is the Antichrist, the beast power, is going to make war with the people in the church. Because we won't fall for his lies and go along with what he's doing. And so he's going to make war with the saints, and some of them he's going to overcome. Why? Those who have not been accounted worthy to escape. One of the main reasons why he's going to overcome so many people is because a lot of people are cowards. They won't make decisions and hold on to it for Jesus. Anyway, they shall worship him. Shall give to make war, overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and over all nations on earth. And verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. In other words, those whose names are not in the book of life, in other words, those who are not with Jesus in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I want you to look at that verse. That was the only verse I really want you to look at. All those whose names are not written in the book of life are all those who are not on God's list, all those who are not with God, in other words, they are going to worship this thing. But notice what God had planned. That this lamb was going to be slain. That was Jesus. When did he decree this? From before the foundation. From the foundation before he started making mankind. Satan's going to come and trick him. So I'm going to go rescue him. And so it has been decreed that's what he was going to go and do. So he knew all what he was doing all along. But I want you to notice that this was decreed that's how it would be. Now I want us to understand something, because I promised you earlier, go to Proverbs chapter 25 while I'm speaking. I promised you earlier, because you'll notice now all of these things are hidden here and there in the Bible. And so without the Spirit of God, the average person will not understand this. It won't make sense to them. They won't believe it. But in Proverbs, the 25th chapter, it says these, verse 1, it says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. They copied this out. And verse 2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. God hides some stuff. He doesn't just show everything up there. Now, some people double out, they just like to show off everything. They don't understand. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. I want us to understand now. You and I need to get it into our head that everything is not going to just come to us on a silver platter. We're going to have to search it out. That's how God set it up. Well, I ain't got time to read. Well, you don't have time to learn. That's the bottom line. So what I am saying to you is that God purposefully hide these things in the scriptures, and yet you have a lot of people, they have the Bible, but they will not read it. They will not read it. You ever hear some people say, the moment I start reading my Bible, I fall asleep. Wonder why? Who put them to sleep? Yes,
Satan the devil.
So what I am saying to you is that these things are hidden. And so we have to dig them out, and from time to time you see we go through messages like this. Now I am saying to you that the whole world was messed up and Adam came and God decided that, okay, I'm going to send Jesus at the appropriate time. So when we read now in Matthew, the 28th chapter, turn into it, last three verses, Matthew chapter 28, you're going to begin to see now, God had a grand plan. And so he says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, speaking of Jesus. Some doubted, verse 17, Matthew 28, 17. Verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So after a period of many, many years, people are beginning to get an idea now that there is freedom after all. And Jesus is declaring that all power is given unto him, Jesus, both in heaven and in earth. And so he says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In other words, go with the gospel. So the point I'm trying to make here is now, the grand plan is for God now to recruit some people, because he's going to complete the restoration. And so we now are a part of the team that he's assembling together. That's it. What is he talking about? In the book of Mark, let's go over to the next chapter book. Verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the beginning. They heard bits and pieces before, but Jesus come now with the summary. This is the beginning. Well, what I'm telling all the people who used to live before, God has a plan for them. I'm trying to explain to you, he hasn't left anything out. So verse 14 says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Verse 15 saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. So he came and he was announcing that. The same information that he wants you and I to go and announce and share with other people. Now, I know a lot of people believe that they know the same story, but it is not so. That's why they do different things. Now, the point here is this. We don't make up our own stuff. We have to do what he says. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. Because it is important that we understand how it is supposed to be done and what it is God desires of us, so that we don't make, in other words, we do justice. So he says, the former treatise have I written unto you, O Theophilus, about what Jesus began to do and to preach. All right. That's verse 1. The former treatise, therefore, have I made, O treatise of Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So he's telling them, I write this documentation, give you new information about what Jesus began to do and to teach. Why we told you who he came with? What? The gospel of the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself, telling them, no, you carry on. Guess what he's doing? He's still doing that today. He's allowing us now to what? Carry on. What? The gospel. The good news of the coming kingdom of God. What exactly is that gospel then? The good summary is, that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. He's going to stay on earth. Now, I know a lot of people have been taught that, yeah, he's going to be in heaven. And that's where he's going to reside. They haven't read the book. He's coming back to earth. And he's going to set up the kingdom of God on earth. Most people haven't read it properly. That's why they teach something totally different. So he says, verse 2 of Acts chapter 1, until the day in which he was taken, after that he through the Holy Ghost commanded unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after being of many infallible proofs, proving to them that he is Jesus, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, that's verse 4, but wait for the promise of the Father, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but I baptized with the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, when they therefore were commanded, come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, are you going to set up the kingdom now? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but you're going to be witness of me. Go ahead and tell other people about this. And Jesus, he says, the power is going to come upon you after the Holy Ghost has come unto you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Alright? And so the point was that he's going to stay there until the heavens, let's back up and read verse 5. Which he said, you men of Galilee, why stand you up? Let's read verse 10. That's where it reads, verse 10. Yes. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them, that's the angels, in white apparel, verse 11, which also said, you men of Galilee, why you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. So he's going to come back in same manner, just like you see him go. So that guy who was telling us that Jesus is in California and he's living at his apartment is telling a lie, isn't he? He don't know what he's talking about. Or the guy in New York who claimed him and Jesus are roommate. He's confused. Jesus is going to come and every eye is going to see him, all right? And so my point here is that this good news needs to be spread. That's the good news. What is the good news? The coming kingdom of God is going to be all over the earth. All right? So the feast of the Lord, as we read in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, I'm not going to take time to read it, but I'm just explaining that it explains. These are the feasts of the Lord. It begins with the weekly Sabbath and then the 7 annual Sabbaths, explaining the overall plan of God's salvation. For all mankind, not just us, everybody. So this is a part of it, ladies and gentlemen. So this is what I'm saying. That's how things ought to be, all right? Now, I explained before, it is the glory of God to conceal these things. It is the honor. Are you an honorable person? Are you worthy of honor? Well, you're going to search it out. You're going to search it out. When I'm 100 years old, I'll still be searching these things out. There's going to be a lot more to learn. So what I'm trying to share with you then, ladies and gentlemen, is that you and I need to understand then that we need to have a plan, a course of action. So this coming year, I would like for you now to start implementing your plan. Whatever it is, start putting it into action. Make your plan. In Luke the 10th chapter, give us a little insight. Book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 10. In verse 1, chapter 10, and verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord
appointed another 70. So he was dealing with some of the folks before, transfigured and so on. And he sent the disciples out and they got through some tests. And he says, he appointed another 70 and sent them out two and two before his face to every city and place where he himself would go. Notice he sent them out now. How? In twos, pairs. You're going to find now it is a principle where God is constantly working with more than one person together. I want you to understand that now. More than one together. So keep that in mind. And you will find that there is a lot of power when you work together. Now, occasionally you might send one person. Special situation. But generally speaking, it is at least two. All right? So keep that in mind. There is a man who went by himself. Show you how dangerous it is when one person operates. 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. This is one man. There was nobody there to caution him and say, hey, you're messing up. You're messing up. Look at what he says in verse 1. There came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jerusalem stood by the altar to burn incense. And Jeroboam, rather, stood by the altar to burn incense. So Bethel is where they have the faith church headquarters. And Jeroboam, he's going to burn incense on the altar. And verse 2, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. So the king Josiah is going to come down the road and he's going to dig up the priests, that even the priests used to be there, and burn their bones again. So he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord had spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it are going to be poured out. It came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried about the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and his hand which he had put forth against him dried up. Now notice this now.
He ain't going to come to put, his sacrifice, whatever it is, on the altar. And when he hear what this man says, come and prophesy this thing, he get angry. So he's telling, whoever his servants are, help me grab this guy. And he stretched out his hand. And when the moment he stretched out his hand, it withered up. He withered up just like that.
You'd think he would have learned from that, but he didn't. So the king answered and said, verse 6, entreat now the face of the Lord their God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored. Now notice this now.
He asked the man to pray that he get his hand back. And the man prayed and he get his hand back. Now you think he would have turned? Because this is the same Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. You think he would have changed? No, he didn't. Now this man of God worked these miracles. You think he would have been diligent to follow. Now you wonder, sometimes people might think you're really rash. I'm not. But you have to follow what the voice of the Lord says. I don't care what anybody else tell you. You be obedient to the word of the Lord. Okay, you read this man's story, this prophet. His son saw what happened and they went and tell him. So he now go chase down this man, this prophet, and tell the man a lie that, well, he was a false prophet. He tell the man, listen, God told me to let you come to my house. eat with me. But God did not tell him that. What did God say to him? Do not stop to talk to anybody or eat anything from anybody. Just go do what I tell you to do and leave. That's all he was supposed to do. Well, this man said, I'm a prophet too. You know how many times people come tell you, I'm a Christian too. So what? Big deal. I didn't ask you. The moment they start talking like that, it's a sign for you to go away. I'm serious, folks. If you don't want your anointing to leak out, practice walking away when they start talking like that. That's all he had to do. By the way, I'm not going to even read the rest of the story. You read it in your own time. But he died. Some bears come and kill him. Why? Because he disobeyed the voice of God. He went back and eat with that false prophet. Do not. For I don't care who it is, friend or relative, try to tell you God is with me too, therefore. No, if you haven't heard from God, you stay away. Read that story. That's a warning. So we're supposed to be cognizant of it. Let's take it a step further. In Matthew the 9th chapter, verse 36, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, therefore we should pray the Lord of the harvest. There are a lot of people out there who need to know about God, who really want to know about God, but the enemy is blocking their way and stuff like that. And I'm saying to you now, don't worry about them in this extent that there is no hope. No, God is going to give everybody an opportunity. That's what we need to understand. You need to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. That's the number one thing you want to make sure. So, he's saying, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send more. I see a lot of stuff. Mexico is a nice place. I see a lot of places people could live. El Salvador. Some of the prettiest land I've ever seen. El Salvador. Nicaragua, real nice place in terms of land, Guatemala, but the folks don't want to obey God. God is going to deal with them in his own time. We need to understand that, and we need to act like we understand it. So what I am saying to you now, ladies and gentlemen, is that we pray the Lord of the harvest wherever we have opportunity, and then we just go on. That's it. We can't save everybody. We can't save everybody. Are they going to go to hell? No. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's the Catholic Church teaching, fooling people to try to get people to join them. And they fool a lot of people. By the way, have you noticed the days are starting to get longer? You probably haven't noticed in that much, just a few minutes. The 25th of December used to be the day when it was the winter solstice, as they say. That's the shortest day of the year in the winter. So that used to be the 25th of December. But they have changed the calendar since then. It's now the 22nd of December. 21st, 22nd. Okay? But my point is that on Christmas come, because that's what they used to call it, the day of the S-U-N, and the Catholic organization changes the day of the S-O-N, and people try to tell us it's Christ's birthday. That's not true. There's nowhere in the Bible to tell us to observe birthdays. People foolishly follow these pagan traditions, and they reap accordingly. So what I am saying to you then is, there's some basic stuff we want to remind you now. In Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 33 then, because we're going to promote the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And I am saying to you, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then the material things will be added unto you. So we understand that. That is what we're supposed to do. So I'm telling you now, that's how he expected to operate. All right? Additionally, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, I am saying to you that you should be concerned about your neighbor just like yourself. Really should be concerned to the point or to the extent that you want to look out on their behalf. Look not every man on his own thing, but on the things of others, it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. So we're going with the good news, and we're going to look out for each other. Now you see what we said, we're a team, and we're going to go, right? So keep that in mind. Remember what I said earlier? You generally operate what? Two by two. Romans, the 8th chapter, gives us additional information about what God is doing and what he expects you and I to recognize and do. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "Now therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So here it is now. You and I are in the Spirit because God has called us and given us of his Spirit. So there is no condemnation. So regardless of who try to come and condemn you, rebuke them. Because there is no condemnation for you. Because we're walking Jesus' walk, aren't we? We're walking with God. That's how he expects you to operate. Walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh, but after the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus had made us free from the law of sin and death." And we don't live that way no more. We live for God. Look at verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So we are called according to God's purpose, and things are going to start to work what? In our direction, in our flow, according to what God desires for us. All right, so let's keep that in mind. It's going to work on our behalf. Now, the devil might put some stuff there, occasionally here and there, and you can recognize that's the devil, and you just rebuke that. But you get the idea now. In other words, don't go out there and just let people abuse you under the pretext, though, that you're a Christian. That's foolish. Just grin and bear it. Who told you that? In Philippians, back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it tells us that Jesus Christ was the one who started this thing in us. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to continue it until the day that you die or the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. So you start this thing, you're not going to stop. For everyone who has called, all right? So keep this in mind. I'm just doing some quick reminders here. Let's go on a little further, faster. So as a result then, ladies and gentlemen, there is a reward for us who are following the Lord. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation, the 20th chapter, and verse 4. And he says, "I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." So we sit on these thrones. He's looking into the future, and we are going to be ruling. We're going to be head honcho, so to speak. And he says, "Those who sit upon those thrones." "I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So there is it. I'm telling you, this is your reward. You're going to be reigning with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Let's take it a step further. Go to chapter 22, same book, verse 14. What does it say? "Blessed are they that do his commandments." I know you still have some folks out there trying to tell you the commandments were nailed to the cross. They haven't read this, have they? "Blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life." Not doing his commandments? You're not on the right. "But blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. They can enter into, as some people call it, the pearly gates. They don't realize they're not going to make it because they don't do his commandments. They don't want to do what he says. They don't obey him. Now, what is going to happen when he do all this? Well, all right, the summary then is this. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Isaiah chapter 2. We're coming to a close in just another minute or so. It says in chapter 2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. That's what happened. He's going to set up the kingdom of God with headquarters in Jerusalem, and we are going to reign and rule with him. Is it going to be only over Jerusalem? No. All over the whole world. But he's starting right there. And many people shall say, many people, not just Jews, many people from Jamaica, from Africa, wherever, shall say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Are you going to send people to school in Jerusalem to learn these things so they can come back and build up your community? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. In Zechariah, the 14th chapter, final scripture, Zechariah chapter 14, because we need to be cognizant of how things ought to be, ladies and gentlemen. So Zechariah chapter 14 reminds us again that God's feet, in other words, Jesus, verse 4 says, so I answered, Zechariah chapter 4, 14, Zechariah chapter 14. Verse 4 says, his feet, remember we read earlier, he's going to come the same way as we see him go. His feet shall be up on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, or as you might say, east of Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in two thereof, and that's where it's going to start that great river we talk about. It's physical as well as a figurative river. But you get the idea. Jesus is coming back to set up the kingdom. And this is how things are going to be. Now, what are we going to do in the meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen? We just talked about our reward. And one of the reasons why we're going to get our reward is because we're going to do the things of God. And you and I now are going to go forth and proclaim the good news. We're going to plan strategically and try to reach more people this coming year. Are we going to reach everybody? No. But can we reach some more? Yes. Are we going to pray and ask God to give us opportunity to be able to declare this good news? Yes. And that's part of what you and I need to do, ladies and gentlemen. I know the enemy is going to try to get everybody to worry and tell us the pandemic is coming and there's going to be food shortages and there are going to be inflation and you're going to have trade wars and stuff. All those are going to happen. But that's not going to stop us from telling people about the good news. We're going to continue to do that. I want to encourage you to be bold as lions and go forth proclaiming this news. This is how it ought to be, ladies and gentlemen. This is all a part of what God has been restoring, starting as we read earlier in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where he started to clean things up from the chaos that Satan, the devil, has caused. He's still causing havoc today, but his time is running short. And we are going to reign and rule with Jesus very, very soon. And so just want to go ahead and remind you about that today. Thank you so much for listening.